Welcome to the Lately PHP podcast. This is episode 68, and this month we had a bit of delay because Arthur was not feeling better, but feeling well actually. But now I suppose he's feeling better. Hello, Arthur. How are you feeling today?
Yeah, hello. Much better than I was feeling last week. Not completely okay, but much better.
Yeah, you got a cold or something that affected your throat or something?
Got the flu. It's a flu season here.
Like yeah. Real winter and stuff. That sucks. And well, if you want to switch over here in Brazil, now the heat actually decided to return, despite that we are almost getting close to the end of the summer. But well, the global weather is a bit messed up, so we should get used to this. Anyway, we are here to talk about PHP, and there are quite a few interesting topics, not many this month, but as usual we are going to start about the latest PHP versions. Actually, they might not be the latest because we are recording a bit late, but there are, in January, there are a few. PHP 5.5 31 had some security fixes, and for PHP 5.16.18 there were some other bug fixes. I guess these include non-security bugs as well. So, well, this is the usual, and as always, depending on which version of PHP you are always recommended to actually upgrade if possible. Not everybody can upgrade.
And that's interesting. PHP code, search it, and it's unavailable for legal reasons.
Oh, I see. It's that one that it's a sort of removed. It's for pages that were removed for legal reasons, right?
Yeah.
So when they say they added support for it in PHP, I'm not sure what they mean, because couldn't you actually issue this code? Or I wonder. I did not see the discussions of this topic. So maybe if it is something important, what PHP provides besides actually issuing the status code header, I'll take a look, because I did not see anything special when it, I see the discussions, but I didn't see what they were actually adding to PHP. Maybe if I understand it better, we can talk about it next month again. Mm-hmm. Anyway, PHP 5.6 also had some bug fixes, as I mentioned. And PHP 7, as expected, had many bug fixes, because it's normal, it's natural that the first releases of a new major version expose many bugs. That is probably why many developers sort of retard their adoption to a newer major version. Since it was released in December, we are already more than 2 months after its release, so I think you probably face many bugs before you can have it working on your systems. So this is regarding PHP 7. So now we are going to move on with the usual overview of proposals for upcoming versions of PHP. They're starting with this one. There is a proposal for what to do to implement operator overloading. This is sort of something that will make PHP very close to what we know at least I know about the way it works in C++, right?
Yeah, it seems so.
Yeah.
You can define existing operators and override them to do something different.
Yes, yeah, so the idea is to have some new magic methods like add, and every time some PHP will find this expression adding two objects, it will actually call this magic method. I don't know if it is restricted to adding two objects, because for instance multiplying does not have the type hint, so it supports complex numbers or not.
It supports the same class. It is an instance of the same class.
Yeah. And I believe that this is interesting in the sense that will give an additional power to PHP, which is to treat objects of certain types more naturally, so we don't have to actually call the functions in your code. PHP will do that.
I actually have another opinion on this. Well, yeah, about that it's useful, yes, but some time ago, I think in my podcast, we discussed about someone creating classes for PHP, like common classes, like array class and stuff like that, and it was in the tutorials articles, yeah. I think, section. And when I looked into this topic more, one of the things noted why nobody creates a normal string class that would be popular to use, because you cannot use this created string class as normal string, because you cannot simply concatenate it with other strings, for example.
Yeah.
And this would allow you to create the meta method for concatenation operation, and you would be able to concatenate the string, your string class, as a normal string. So it would really help in that way to make PHP more customized.
Yes, although it would not work with the actual string data types, we would have to create string classes.
Why not? I think if one of them is your object, another is string, it should work, no?
Yes, no, sure. What I meant is that the first operator, the first value in the expression must be a string class in the example that you gave.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot just put a string data type here. It has to be a string class.
Well, they should consider this option, I think, more, and maybe provide a solution for that. I can't tell what solution could be right now to check if any of them is object. I don't know, really. And yeah. Of course, it would not also solve the problem where you could pass this string to methods, the string class to methods that accept string. It would also not work that way.
Yeah.
You would, but at least it's a start.
And this is interesting, because it seems they were proposing an extension from Peckle that actually would already do this. So the work would be mostly only to support many operations. So for those that would like to implement benefit from operator overloading, this is interesting. And string is just an example, but could be any other types. The example shows here are complex numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and this is interesting. The multiplication, for instance, it checks if the operator is also a complex number. I mean, the second, that would be the right hand value is. Is also a complex number, or if it is a real number, it will just do a simple multiplication of the real imaginary parts. So inside your implementation, you can support different types of right-hand parameter values. So I think this only works if the first object, the left side of the expression is an object of this class. Okay, I think this is an interesting proposal. It is not yet for votes, but if it is approved, it will go in PHP 7.1. And let me see if there is already a schedule for voting. No, not yet. This is still under discussion. Actually, status draft. Okay, so now moving on to another topic, another proposal, which is already about warning about invalid strings in arithmetic. Personally, I do not abuse of the possibility that PHP can do arithmetic operations with strings that contain numbers. Usually, I already have converted any strings to numbers before I even operate them. But since PHP could do this since the early days, the idea here is to throw some warnings. I'm not sure if the warnings are for all cases, for instance, of strings that are promoted to numbers, or when you have more than just a number in a string. For instance, in this example, they show 10 apples plus 5 pears.
Yeah, I think warnings are issued only when you have non-numeric character in the string. If both strings contain only numeric characters, then it would be a numeric string and it would convert it without warning.
Yes. So the proposal here is to just throw warnings on the when the string is not exactly not completely a number, right?
Yeah.
I think this makes sense and will probably help you to find more bugs that probably you would not notice. So I think this proposal can be useful to catch more bugs. Okay, now moving on to another proposal, which is related with negative offsets used to reference strings. Some PHP functions that manipulate strings already support negative offsets. Obviously, a string does not have a negative offset, so when the offset is negative, it should be treated as if it is an offset counting from the end of the string. But this is just for functions that support that. So what they are proposing here is to have a generalized support for negative offsets when you use, for instance, square brackets like here, or angle brackets. I think that's it. Well, if you know what you are doing, this is fine. But if you don't know what you are doing, this may help to get away some bugs because you, for instance, you miscalculated the offset of a string, and it gave a negative number. And if it was the way as it is now, it would issue some warning or error. Now they want to generalize, and probably that error will be omitted. And I don't know if this is good to catch that eventual error or just suppress it because now people want to support negative offsets everywhere. So I have this objection. Anyway, this is yet another feature that is being proposed for PHP 7.1, and it's still not yet up for voting. So let's see how how the community, the core developers will react when this is voted, to see actually if it is a good or bad thing, at least on the eyes of the core developers. Another feature that is being proposed, actually this is an implementation related with sessions. This is not a trivial thing to understand, but the idea is to propose a solution for a weird case that could be caused when you use a session regenerate ID, because there will be transient issues. As you know, session regenerate ID will create a new ID for a session, but for instance, if you have other tabs or maybe, for instance, images or iframes loaded with loading a PHP script that actually checks the session, if you change the session ID, it will cause that problem that in the separate request that is done to retrieve the iframe or image or something that is being loaded in parallel, the session ID may not be recognized. So the solution would be to consider old IDs valid for at least some time. And the idea is to consider just a short window of time that will be enough to cover those cases of parallel loading of assets that will need in your page. I personally do not use session regenerate ID. Artur, do you use this function, or yeah, did you use when you actually were more active developing PHP?
Yeah, of course. I usually used it to prevent session hijacking. For example, if a user enters the website, I already create some session ID for it to store some properties like languages. And when he authenticates, I would usually regenerate the session ID, so it would use a new value. So it was, if it was stolen before he was logged in, that user would not be authenticated for him and stuff like that. But this proposal actually, I think it solves much more than just simple session ID. Also the time management, for example, currently, if you want to expire session at some time, it you can't really specify the timeout for the session because there is a probability for deletion, and you specify this probability when it could be deleted and stuff like that. So it's a really interesting implementation of session management. So I think they just want to create a new, more precise, controllable session implementation altogether.
When you say precise control, do you mean that the developer will have options to control the yeah, way that the sessions will be handled?
Yeah, it would be configurable. I think there is an ini file or something like that where you can define time to leave and update and stuff.
Oh, I see. It's at the end. Well, actually, in the proposal, not. Yeah. I mean, not the beginning. So you would be able to configure the time to leave for a session ID, since it will be changing. It says time to leave is for the session. Then there's time to leave update and time to leave destroy. Oh, I see. So this is a feature, but you can configure several parameters, including the number of past session IDs that will support. Well, this is interesting. Well, PHP will implement this, but if you do not use the default session ID session handler, like which uses files on the server side to store the session data, if you use your custom session handler, for instance, when you are in a distributed server environment, the default implementation of PHP will not do because different servers will not see the session files that are created by other servers. So you probably need to resort to a more distributed solution like Memcache. So I wonder if these improvements to session handling will work with custom session handlers, or those custom session handlers need to be updated to support this type of cases that you will have multiple IDs that refer to the same session. Well, I don't know. I think this needs to be studied in more detail. Since I've not been using a session regenerate ID, I don't have first-hand experience on how this would be handled. So anyway, this is an advanced security topic that people that are really concerned with security should take a look, because the chances that a session may be stolen is real. One case is somebody can steal your session ID because it intercepted the communications between your user computer and the server. Another case is when cookies are stolen, because sessions are also use cookies to pass the session IDs between different pages. And but there is an option in PHP that allows you to restrict the access of cookies to HTTP requests only. So if you are if you have a vulnerability in your site that can allow a JavaScript code to steal your cookies and send to another server, if you have this HTTP only option, you should avoid that situation. In that case, session regenerate ID would not be so useful. Another case that if you use SSL, actually it's no longer SSL, it's TLS, but you would use have your site using HTTPS for everything, you also would not have so much of a problem of your cookies be stolen in traffic, because as long you are using a non-vulnerable implementation of HTTPS, which nowadays is at least TLS 1.0, but we don't know about the future, you should be more protected. But anyway, these are advanced security topics. I'm sure not everybody understands all the nuances of these details. Anyway, I think this is an interesting proposal. And if you are really, really security aware and concerned, you should take a look at using session regenerate ID as well. These options that are being considered now, but I don't know what is the proposal of the first PHP version that will implement them. This proposal was already sent initially in 2013, but it has been updated several times. There is at the bottom of the proposal, there is a history log of all the changes that have been proposed. And I did not follow all the discussions, but for some reason this proposal was not voted yet. Let's see if it is going to be voted at least in time for PHP 7.1. Okay, so now moving to another topic, then actually we practically reach the end of the regular PHP related topics. We would talk about the Innovation Award winners now, but first we are going to talk about the results of the Innovation Award Championship for the whole year of 2015, which the results were announced finally in the beginning of February. And the results are that Dave Smith is the winner as individual. So let me share the screen about an article that was just posted with an interview with Dave Smith. This interview was recorded in a separate Hangout, and it is being published on this article. So in this article, we actually enumerated all the nominees that helped United States to win as a country. And this year was particularly, exciting, because many authors participated. It was a record in terms of nominated packages as well and earned points. It's true that Dave Smith actually contributed for a great part of the points that were earned, but we had many, many nominees, not only for the United States, but from other countries, like, for instance, Russia, that has been very active, India, Spain, Nigeria, France, Germany, Italy, Egypt, and Brazil. And this is great, because the whole community benefited from great innovative contributions that solve interesting problems. And tied to this, there is one feature that was implemented and actually announced to the authors recently, which is the fact that if you go to the recommended package recommendation section of the site, let me share the screen here. For instance, if you see a recommendation request that could be solved with a package that you developed, but it was not yet published because it was not submitted, or was submitted but it was not approved, now you can get priority approval to those packages that address recommendations. For instance, let me give a recent example. For instance, this package recommendation that required a working solution to convert convert HTML to PDF, and this recommendation request actually appeared multiple times by different people, and then Dave Smith happened to develop a package that addresses this problem using a web service that is up to date. There is already a class that solved this same problem of converting HTML to PDF, but it relied on a web service that is no longer working, but now Dave Smith has developed a package that uses a newer web service that works. And so he submitted this recommendation, but the actual package that he developed, which is this one, HTML to PDF WebKit, was not approved. But thanks to this new feature, those packages that address recommendations are approved with priority. So the people waiting for these solutions do not have to wait so much. This year was particularly intensive in terms of package submission, and there was a a big queue that was formed and delayed all the package approvals, because I did not have time to approve them quick enough. I'm trying to catch up on that queue. It was really bad. There was a moment that were more than 40 packages in the queue, which is a lot. Nowadays, it's closer to 20 packages, and I still hope to reduce it. Anyway, some authors are getting impatient. Oh, when my package is going to be approved? And in some cases, I try to approve them, but it's not fair that people just ping me, oh, approve my package faster. This has to be done with a criteria that has that is equal to every author. So in this case, this package was approved with this criteria that it is for addressing a recommendation request. Just today, there was another package submission that addresses another request, and it will be approved faster. But we're talking about this because of the Innovation Award. Well, in this case, this package HTML to PDF is not really innovative, because there were prior packages that implemented a similar solution, although based on a different service, but they will still get priority approval. But for authors that want to have their packages approved faster so they can be nominated before the end of the month, for this month, they are probably looking for solutions to get their packages approved sooner. Another way to get a package approved sooner is when you write a featured article about your package even before it is published. As you may know, all packages published in the PHP Classes site have their own blog. You can write posts about the packages in that blog. And if the articles that you write on that blog can be considered of general utility, even though they are just to talk about your package features, you can flag those articles as featured, and when the articles are approved as featured, they'll appear in the main site blog, and you get much more exposure. The new thing is that if you write a feature blog post about the package that is not yet approved, your package will also be approved with greater priority. There are other plans to approve packages with greater priority, like using the reputation point system. If you want to get your package approved faster, there will be the possibility for you to redeem the points that you have earned for doing good things on the site. So you've got some reputation. And with those points, you can redeem the privilege to have your packages approved faster. But that is not yet implemented. It's just an idea for the future. Anyway, we're talking about the Innovation Award. We mentioned that Dave Smith is the winner of 2015, and as an author from the United States, he also helped the United States win collectively this year. So it was not like the last year when the winner is from one country and the country winner is different. Anyway, I think this has been working very well. The United States sent many contributions, but for instance, Russian and India and other countries also sent many contributions, which is great in general for the benefit of the PHP community. So in this article, I also interviewed several authors from the United States that answered a few questions. They were actually not only talking about themselves, but also giving some interesting suggestions that things that they would like to see to improve the PHP classes site, and that gave me some interesting ideas. Other ideas were actually implemented, but they were not advertised. So I think I need to improve the marketing of those features so people start using them. For instance, one author, I think it was Asher Wolfstein, that hoped to have the support to display the README file in the package page. And that was actually implemented last year. But I think I did not announce it properly. He actually suggests that the README file supports Markdown format, which is something that is precisely what happens today.
I actually only knew about this feature, I think, because I stumbled in it in configuration somewhere in settings where you can select the default file to display or something.
Yeah. So how did you like that feature? Do you think it is useful?
Yeah, I don't think, yeah, I don't. I think it's very useful. It lets you customize the front page of the package that you're displaying, display more information, and especially in combination with the importing from GitHub, which also supports Markdown, probably any repositories, it's really useful, yeah.
Right. GitHub actually helped to promote the Markdown format. So if many packages are imported by the authors from GitHub, they already came with a README file in Markdown format. That is useful because the authors can display anything they want in the front page. Let me try to show it in practice.
I think the only thing is that it does not, at least in JS classes, it seems it does not support a code, Markdown for code. So if I want to show an example code, it would just...
Oh, that maybe that was some limitation or bug that of the Markdown renderer, because recently I have fixed the Markdown is a bit, I mean, the Markdown renderer that exists on the site is a bit limited. But because other authors were complaining about the code not appearing correctly, they told me and I fixed the issues. Markdown is a pretty complex specification. I only have implemented part of it, but I will implement that. So if you look at your pages and the code rendering or some other type of rendering is not looking well, just let me know and I'll fix the issues that you find out with more priority. So this is, I'm telling you this now, but this is also valid to other authors that find issues in the Markdown or rendering of their pages. Other than that, I was going to let me see, for instance, this one. Let's see if this is one case that shows. Oh, here it is. You have the package description. If there's any recommendations, and we have here an innovation award.
We don't see your screen. Should we see?
Oh, sorry, I stopped sharing. Okay, let's start from the beginning. So as I was saying, here you have the description, and this description has to be in plain text. Some people wanted to include URLs, but since this plain text description is going to RSS feeds and other places, like for instance the meta description tag that is shown on Google, I don't show URLs here because they will not render well, for instance, in Google search. So some people wanted to show URLs, but there are other places that can show URLs now, like for instance, the README file. So the README file, in this case, you it is a Markdown file that is rendered as HTML to appear in, on this page. And there are some code statements here. Probably the issues that you found out were already fixed, but if they were not, please let them know, because they're, the problem that you're facing is shown in many places, and that does not look well. And you always want to look well, because it helps getting credibility to the package and the author work. One other aspect I already mentioned, Google. When you have a README file, it will help, in theory, to the package to rank better, because you have more relevant text explaining what how the package works. And eventually, it will match more searches done by Google. And talking about that, some people are not aware, because it's probably something that they did not comment when it was implemented. If you go to your package reputation tab, you can look here, the last tab. This probably only appears for, if I'm not mistaken, only for registered users. So if your package is appearing in Google, you're getting visitors from Google, you'll see here the number of search visits that you got in the last 90 days. And this search rank here has nothing to do with, actually with Google, but is the rank of all packages that they are getting visits from Google. So in this case, 352 is the rank of this package. It means that there are 351 packages getting more visits in the last 90 days. Mm-hmm. And this is useful. Another aspect that will contribute for packages to get more visibility, and I think this only happens, only displayed on the home page for non-logged users due to layout restrictions. You can see here these featured classes here that you see. These are the top packages that are getting more visitors from Google. In the past, there used to be like 20, but I increased the number to 50, so more packages can benefit from being listed on the site home page. This is a search engine optimization tip that to actually list the pages that are already more getting more search visitors to actually get even more visibility on search rankings. The same goes to articles about packages. For instance, on the left, on the right side, you see these are featured articles about packages that are getting a great number of visitors from Google. And this is great, because when these articles are visited, the users actually learn interesting things. So these are the top articles. Currently, I'm only showing 20, but I probably will also increase it to 50. I thought it would be interesting to comment on this somewhere, but I probably will write an article to what to do to optimize the visibility of your packages in the site. And the idea is to let you know about these small tips that you can get even more visitors, more people interested in your packages. Just for instance, this last article, smoothly migrate your code, PHP code using the old MySQL extension to MySQLi package. This is an article about the package. And it recently got more visibility, probably because users are looking about solutions to migrate their code. So you make it work in PHP 7. And this article, I think it was also written by Dave Smith, and he actually posted a forum topic about the site, this site feature, because when the an article becomes featured in the homepage, the authors get a new message, letting them know about this thing, this featured articles feature. So it's talking to me about how it worked, and it was great because I also got some feedback that I should also tell authors about these things in more detail, not only to current authors, but probably notify new authors that as they come to the site, so they can benefit about these things that can enhance the visibility of their packages. Well, okay, this is just to comment something that was related with Innovation Award and the interviews that I gave, that the authors of the United States gave, and it got me some interesting feedback, and it has been very useful to improve the site features. So regarding the Innovation Award winners of 2015, that is all for now. Now we are going to talk about the Innovation Award nominees of either PHP classes and JavaScript, JS classes components that were nominated in November. So they were voted in December, and then in January the results come out. So now we can talk about them. We are going to start precisely by talking about the nominees of JS classes. Arturus, which ones would you like to comment?
Well, the both that are about to comment are from the same author, Christian Wich, probably for France. And first one is a JavaScript include package, which allows you to dynamically include different components of the web, like the other JavaScript file or HTML or CSS in a web page. So it's a jQuery plugin, I think.
Yeah.
As an example. So you can include any other files that you need, and the plugin would know how to include it to use script up on JS.
Yeah, it's not just CSS. JavaScript, it is also CSS. And
that's what I'm telling. So that's why it's interesting. And Christian got 1 year server license IP to country for this package. And the second one that he also submitted is also an interesting. It's called jQuery script parameters, and basically, what it does when you include JavaScript in your HTML, you can, as usual, append some parameters to URL, for example. But there is no way to retrieve them in your script, so this jQuery plugin can parse that URL and provide you some information about it. And you can see from where the script was loaded in the code, or have any additional parameters to enact on them. So that's actually some usage that I haven't thought of, and that was interesting. And as I said, it also came from the Christian conference. I think that's all on my part for JS classes.
Yeah, so on my behalf, I also would like to comment on one remaining package that may. Let me zoom the page and share. So this is a package by Valo Reima from Estonia. Should be your neighbor, I suppose.
Yeah.
At least in the map, it shouldn't be
almost
that far. So he actually submitted a component for sending forms and passing parameters to the server. The good thing is that it can also send requests also via AJAX put and pass those parameters in the body. So when you want to send an arbitrary request with some parameters in JSON format rather than being post or get, you can use this object to send the requests to the server. And for this, Vao got one book from PACT. One thing that I wanted to comment regarding the Innovation Award is that now that we reached the end of the computation of the results for the year 2015, now we know who are the winners. In the case of JavaScript and Innovation Award, the winner by individually was Anders Toth. So he was the first, he earned this award, becoming in the first place with 6 packages and 23 points. But it was followed by other also good contributions from Suresh Kumar from India with 4 packages and 13 points. Then Jackson Otto with 3 packages and 10 points. Christian Vig, 4 packages and 9 points. Diego La Monica, 2 packages and 8 points. Tied with Stefan Schaffer from Australia. Arthur Sozins did not show up as he promised, but he still achieved the 5th place and is tied with the other two with 3 packages and 8 points. Then it's followed by Gianluca Zanferrari from Netherlands with 1 package and 7 points. Dusan Boskic from, I think it's Bosnia, right? Serbia, sorry. With 2 packages and 7 points, tied with Gianluca Ferrari. And finally, Franz Joseph Brun, 10th place with 2 packages and 6 points. And for this, let me just show it very quickly. The winner, in this case, Anders Toth, is going to earn, I don't know if you can see it very well. This is the trophy. Actually, this is the base trophy. The one that he's going to get is going to show here his name and the Innovation Award winner 2015 inscription in there. And that is for individuals. And you also get one of these PHP elephants, which all JavaScript developers want. Or not. I don't know. And then this year again, we had the Innovation Award also by country, which unfortunately in the JS classes did not have as much participation in the last year. So Hungary won with the points and packages of Anders Toth. So Hungary is in first place. And for that, Anders Toth was going to get another trophy just to say that he is the winner by country representing the team of Hungary. So anyway, in second place comes India with 6 packages and 20 points, France with 7 packages and 19 points, United States with 4 packages and 11 points, Australia with 2 packages and 8 points, Latvia 3 packages and 8 points, tied also with Italy with 2 packages and 8 points, then Serbia 2 packages and 7 points, Netherlands 1 package and 7 points, and then Austria with 2 packages and 6 points. So this year was not very much participated as the PHP Innovation Award that got a record participation in 2015. I hope in 2016 things start getting better and people participate more. So this is all for the JavaScript Innovation Award in 2015. In 2016, it already started, but we start committing on the winners in the following month. Now, moving on to the Innovation Award of 2015, but for PHP, let me just share the screen here. When the zoom level is right. And okay, so in November we had a record of 16 nominees. I guess there was another month we also had 16 nominees. Yeah. And this is good, a great participation, but now we will have a lot of work commenting on all these nominees. So let's get started. Arturs, which ones would you like to comment?
The first one I wanted to mention is a PHP.go engine by Dave Smith, who was also the Innovation Award winner of this year.
Yeah,
and basically it's a package that allows you to interact with SMS messages using a .go server service. We discussed it a lot in the articles section of the podcast, so it explained it how the services worked and how to use the package. I think there are multiple, two or maybe even three articles about it. So
right.
you can go and check it there. But it's very complex stuff, and this package would help you a lot if you want to have a SMS messaging communication with your server. And Dave is from the United States, and he got one copy of Zen Studio for this package. The other package I wanted to mention is Xaja Notifier, which was developed by Ettore Moretti from Italy, and shows it, Xaja is reverse for Ajax, and this package is kind of implementing a reverse Ajax for the server by using the long polling. So basically Ajax scripts are polling the server, and then you can notify users that are currently browsing your website. So basically you can send them a notification. You can control which are the users that are browsing and which what you want to receive the notification. And it's really interesting, the package, so that's why I also chose it.
This would allow doing things like Facebook, that you are on a page and get new notifications and it updates the notification count.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think I need to implement that on PHP Plus and JS Plus.
Don't you have it? I think there are some notifications in the upper bar.
Yes, but it's not like if there is a new notification and you do not change the page, it won't update.
Okay, easy.
On my behalf, I also took to comment quite a few packages. Just sharing the screen here. So I will start precisely for one very interesting package called Stackable PHP Session Handler. And this one was developed by Colin McKinnon from the United Kingdom. And as you may know, PHP sessions may be handled by custom session handler in classes. And this way you can override the default storage method of session data, which is in files. So this way you can perform the storage of the session data in other types of containers, which means databases or memcached servers. And what is interesting in this class is that you can have multiple session handler classes that can be stackable, so it could provide additional services. So for instance, one can encrypt the session data, another can encrypt things like additional security measures, another can perform session write optimization. So this way you can increase the features of your session handler without actually being required to put it all in a single session handling class. So can use this stackable session handling to just use the features that you want. So for this, Colin earned a prize, which is a license for using the IP2 country database. The other package that I want to comment is one interesting that resulted from a recommendation request. Somebody requested a sort of a moderation system for approving content, somewhat similar to what happens in PHP classes, that packages are put on moderation before they are approved. And Dave Smith from the United States actually implemented a package to address that need and used a NoSQL database for the storage of the information regarding the package to be approved. Okay, as you already mentioned, he was the winner of the Innovation Award, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. The next package that I wanted to comment is this USDA PHP Nutritional Products Database Wrapper, which is basically a class that accesses a web service to obtain nutritional information about food products. And this is useful if you are trying to implement an application that relies on this information about food nutrients, what they contain, their measures, and many other types of information related with food retrieved from the USDA database web service. Not talking about the Innovation Award nominees, actually results for the 2015. As we mentioned, Dave Smith won the first place, and he was going to earn one of these elephants like the others. Let me share. And also this trophy, which is very similar to the other JavaScript, but it's different from the last year. This year I have requested to produce some more robust trophies, because in the other year this base was not so strong and it could break if you put some pressure. So he's going to earn one of these trophies, and accept that it will appear his name and the title of a PHP Innovation Award winner of 2015. So Dave Smith was won with a great margin. And we actually have interviewed him in a separate podcast that was published already, and you can listen to it. Many interesting comments. He comments about the package that he submitted throughout the year and why, as well some of his opinions about things that he would like to see improved on PHP classes. And it was an interesting interview. And apart from that, there was also some written interviews with the other nominees from the United States that helped the United States to win the Innovation Award by country. So they also gave interesting interviews, except they were just written. So the responses they gave are published there. So back to the final rankings of 2015, second place is Matthew Knowlton with 453 points. He was also from the United States. Third place, Samuel Adeshin, 5 packages, 52 points. José Luis Lasso, 3 packages, 43 points in fourth place. Fifth place, Dmitry Mamontov from Russia with 4 packages, 42 points. Nick Daniels is in sixth place with 3 packages and 33 points. He's also from the United States, so we also help the United States to win as a country. In seventh place, Jan Altesen from Germany with 4 packages and 29 points. Then Till Wioski from also from Germany with 4 packages and 28 points. And then Gali Ahmed from Turkey with, sorry, it's Tunisia. It's, I think the flag is similar. And he has sent 3 packages and earned 26 points. Finally, tied with Gali Ahmed, there is Alex under Selifonov with 2 packages and 26 points. Well, by country, as you may see, United States also won with a clear advantage with 28 packages, 2,257 points. But Russian also did well with 15 packages and 116 points. In third place, there comes India with 11 packages, 93 points. Spain with 7 packages and 76 points. Nigeria with 5 in 5th place with 8 packages and 72 points. France in 6th place with 8 packages and 66 points. Germany with 9 packages and 62 points. Italy with 3 packages and 36 points is in 8th, tied with Egypt with 4 packages and 36 points. And finally in 10th place came Brazil with 6 packages and 35 points. So this year is really great in terms of participation in the Innovation Award. I hope everybody enjoyed. Those that won or have not won, every of these nominees are entitled to prizes from sponsors. We also had an increase in terms of sponsors. I think now we have like 14 sponsors, thanks to the participations of new sponsors like Source Guardian, which provides a prize, which is a code protection tool that allows you to ship PHP code in encoded format to protect from eventual copies of unauthorized users. And then lately, we also had the participation of API Layer, which is a company that provides many interesting APIs useful for developing not only PHP applications, but applications based on web services in any language. And as always, I'd like to thank you also the other sponsors like Human Profile, IP Telocation, Active State, NewSphere, JetBrains, JCX Software, Code Lobster, Zen, PHP Architect, Pact, O'Reilly, and DevSense, which is also a new sponsor that provides a tool for actually, it is an extension for Visual Studio, so you can manage PHP projects from inside Visual Studio. Basically, with this, we have reached the end of this Innovation Award report. I also would like to invite you to read or listen to the podcasts that with interviews with the winners, at least with the PHP winner Dave Smith. There is a podcast now for Anders Toth, which was the winner for JS classes. He preferred to not give a spoken interview because he's from Hungary. He is not very comfortable talking in English, which we can understand. But there is he provided a written interview, which probably by the time you are watching this interview will be already published. So with this, we practically ended this podcast. I'd like to thank you again, Harters, for coming and facing the challenges of the cold of Latvia that has been affecting your throat. I hope you continue to get better so we can continue to record more Hangouts. It was a shame you did miss the podcast interview with Dave Smith. You could also contribute with your inputs, but health is more important. So I hope you continue to get better, so next time you continue to participate. So on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.